And that's really how Jesus lived his life. Jesus wasn't just out there judge whatever be gonna be. I'm gonna tell you, he's very organized, very strategic in everything that he was doing. He stayed organized. In Matthew 9:35, it says this: "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." So there was a pattern that he employed in his ministry: teaching, preaching, and healing. And other scriptures bear it out, because another scripture in the book of Luke says, "And they all pressed upon him to hear the word of God and to be healed." So a lot of times, he wouldn't even minister to you until he had taught you something. He would teach, that's instruction, that's explaining. He would preach, that's proclaiming. Amen, for inspiration. Teaching is for instruction, preaching is for inspiration. You preach, you get people fired up. You teach them, you just tell them things. You instruct them. But preaching is for inspiration, and then he would manifest the healing power of God because the people were now ready. So a lot of times what happened is we won't pray for healing first, and then we're going to teach you something. But Jesus, the way he operated, and we see this all through the New Testament, he would sit down, he would teach people, and then he would demonstrate. And sometimes the lessons wouldn't be long, they'd be short lessons, but he would share the word, because faith comes how? Now, who knows that? You think Jesus knew faith comes by hearing? You think he know that? Or you think that's a revelation to him? He's the author and finisher of faith, right? So he know how faith come, right? So he know that people got to hear the word to have faith. So he taught, he preached, then he demonstrated. That was a pattern. So he was organizing his approach and how he ministered to people. There's a divine order to ministry. Then in Luke 4:16, it says, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read." So you can see that he had some customs. There were some things that he did as a routine or as a habit. And one of his customs was that on the Sabbath day, you always knew where you was going to find him. In the synagogue. So he's organized in how he lived his life. There's certain days he's going to do certain things. And we see that a lot of the miracles the Holy Spirit inspired to be written in the Bible, many of those was done on the Sabbath. Well, where was he in the Sabbath? He was in the synagogue. That was his custom. In other words, that was his usual way of doing things. That doesn't mean that every Sabbath he was there. We don't know. I can't say that for sure. But we know he had a custom. You know, you can develop a custom of being late for your job. Ain't gonna get no amens out of that one, I'll tell you that. They say, "Oh, they always late. It's all right, they're gonna be 10 minutes late. They ain't here yet. Where's the 8 o'clock? Can I talk so and so? They ain't here yet. Call back in 10 minutes. They always at least 10 minutes late. You can develop a custom of anything, a habit, a pattern. So Jesus was patterned. So I think it's a good pattern. If Jesus patterned himself to be in the synagogue on the Sabbath, then I think it would be good for you to pattern yourself to be in church on Sunday. He just developed a habit. I'm going to be there on Sunday. Make it a custom. All right. Luke 9:14. This is clearly demonstrated. When Jesus multiplied bread and fish, guess what he did first? Verse 14. "For there were about 5,000 men, and he said to his disciples, make them sit down by 50s in companies." So guess what he did? He organized them. Well, it's about 5,000 hip people here, Jesus. Okay, break them up into groups of 50. You're going to bring some organization. Because you start feeding people, what happened? When they're hungry, you know, you've been with them in a desert place for 3 days, they're hungry. What's going to happen? You start handing out food. Somebody going to get stampede. Right? There's going to be chaos. Everybody trying to get make sure they got something for them. Right? So what do? He organized the crowd. See, his organization kept Satan from getting into it. Amen. Kept him out. Kept him at bay. No chaos at all. This is going to be peaceful. This is going to be easy. And everybody going to have plenty. Satan ain't got nothing to do with this. So a lot of times when you're not organized, you create a door for Satan to get at you. Jesus kept him out and say, we're going to organize this here, because if we don't, then I'm going to leave a door open for Satan to get in this thing. And he said, no. Organize them. Set them down in companies of 50. This is what he did. Amen. John 9:4. He said this, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Well, what is Jesus saying? What's he saying right there? What he's saying is this. I don't have time to waste. When it's daytime, I'm working. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, there's some benefits to being organized. Let me give them to you. Here's some benefits. Being organized will help you use your time wisely. Will enable you to take advantage of opportunities presented to you because you're organized. How many of you had something to do or somebody needed something from you and you couldn't find it? How many times you trying to get something done at home, hey men, and you couldn't find that tool? I know it's in here somewhere, just ain't used it in a long time. So every now and then I take everything out and I reorganize it. Why? Because it get disorganized when you don't put stuff back where it belongs. So you got to be organized. Amen. Another benefit is being organized will help you work more efficiently with greater excellence and attention to detail. If you're not organized, then you're going to be inefficient. You're going to waste time. You're going to waste resources. How many of you went and bought something you already got? Because you couldn't find it. I know I got it. It's right here somewhere. I don't know where it's at. It'd be easy for me just go buy another one. What's all that? That's disorganization. That happened because you're not organized. Amen. If you're organized, you will accomplish more with less. That's what efficient means. Efficient means that you're able to take something and make the most of it. Actually get more out of it than really what anybody think you should be able to get out of it. You can do that with your time. How many of you know some people accomplish so much in a span of time, and some people accomplish so little? What's the reason why some people accomplish so much in a short period of time? It's because they organized. It's because they stay on point. They stay focused on their task. You know, when I was working as an engineer, I developed this mindset. I'm here for 8 hours. I'm going to put in 8 hours of work. And so the custom in our company was 10-hour days. I'm going to do all my work in eight and a half max. It's because I didn't have time to stand around a coffee pot. First of all, I didn't drink coffee, so that made it easy. But there's some people that don't drink coffee and they see a crowd. Guess what? They see a crowd around the coffee pot. Guess what they do? Gravitate to it. Man ain't got to work right now to take a break. I wasn't into all them breaks. I mean, TC would tell you, I'd come home some days and I'd say, let me sit down for about 30 minutes because my brain would be fried. It would feel like that I just was exhausted mentally because I worked. And I stayed organized. So I kept things rolling. When you do that, you actually have more time on your hands. I remember one time my boss came to me and he said, Greg, the operator just came to me. They need a valve right here running from this tank right here, a level control valve in this line right here. Put a level control valve right there. I said, okay, no problem. So I got with the operator, found out what they need to do, and guess what? Went to the storeroom, ordered the stuff, got the stuff there, had it put in on the next outage, world work order, had it put in. The next week, my boss walked by there, and he looked up, and he saw that valve in. And he came to me and said, brother, you got that valve put in that fast? I said, that's what you wanted, ain't it? He said, yeah, that's what I wanted. You know what he was expecting? About 6 weeks. He's expecting you get it, you'll get to, you're working in with your schedule. But guess what? I said, that's an easy thing. I'm organized. I can fit this in, not hurt none of anything I got going on. I can get this done. And I went and got it done. And I'm going to tell you, it was impressive to him because he just making a round, looked up there, and what he had asked for was done. Now, when he needs something done next time, who he coming to? Who's he more prone to come to? Why? He make things happen. Why is he making things happen? Because he organized. I wasn't the smartest. But you don't have to be the smartest. If you have some good work ethic and you stay organized, that organization, and you listen to the Holy Ghost, and that's key right there. And you listen to the Holy Ghost, tell you when to do things and how to get them done and when to go to a place, when to talk to somebody, who you need to talk to. I'd run into dead end after dead end of trying to find help, and I just keep on knocking. Somebody gonna help me. Because I'm sowing the seed. I'm helping anybody that asks me for help, I'm helping them. So I'm expecting, I'm sowing the seed for future help.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
May I have your attention?
The best of the old. The best of the new. The best variety in music.
Great variety of music.
Different music.
Tons of music.
Awesome.
Online anytime. 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
That is a scripture that's been screaming at me all week long, saying, say something about me. And and it's found in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. And it simply says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, or the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, and more especially the doers of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. What a powerful, insightful word that God reveals to us to help us understand his will for our lives as relates to relationship with him. One of the things that I believe would be helpful is to look at this verse very closely and carefully and to glean the many messages that this verse yields. When we look at this verse, there are so many things about it that I believe is important, not just for children and youth and young adults, but adults and grandparents and people as a whole to understand what God is saying in this verse. Now, if there ever was a time we need to direct our youth, our children in the way of the Lord, it's now. Satan is no longer waiting until they become young adults to fill their hearts and minds with destruction and devilment and all of the other evils of the world. He's catching them at a younger and a younger age, and he's giving them all of the ammunition they need to live a divisive and depraved life from early on. It is the responsibility of the parents. It is the responsibility of the church. It is the responsibility of the school. It is the responsibility of the community to try and guide our children and our youth in the right way so that they might have the kind of life God desires them, and for the Christian community to introduce all to Christ as early as possible. Isn't it amazing that we don't wait till they get 9, 10, 12 to teach them how to dance? Isn't it amazing that we don't wait till they get that old to teach them how to sit down in front of the television and watch cartoons? And I think, parents, if you hadn't watched cartoons in a while, you might need to take another look. Because cartoons ain't what they used to be. Isn't it amazing now how the enemy has accelerated his attack against mankind to now do a frontal attack on our children? So it's amazing that God didn't print this word the other day. It's been in his word. And it says, remember now. Now, the first thing I want to tell you about this word is that there are three things that I want you to get out of this message minimally. First of all, that God has an expectation of us introducing children to him at an early age. Jesus confirmed that when he said, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. He made clear, unless you humble yourself as this little child, you can in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. He made it clear. Notice it was little children starting at a very, very young age, at the age when they're able to understand and comprehend the gospel message. Stop writing our children off like they can't understand Christian stuff, but they can understand carnal stuff. Stop writing our children off as if they could not, if they are hearing and if they are seeing Christian principles put in practice, that they will not mimic even before they understand what's going on, what God requires of them by way of examples in the home and examples among Christian people. Don't think that they cannot pick up on those things. A child learns what they live. You find a child who lives in a proper home, you'll have a proper child. You find a child that's reared up in a dysfunctional home, you'll find a dysfunctional child. They learn what they live. Now listen at this. There are at least three things this verse teaches us that I want you to get. First, when it says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, it's important to know God at this point because it's the easiest time. It's the easiest time. It's not only the easiest time, but it's also the wisest time. Not only is it the wisest time, but thirdly, it's the safest time. And as we walk through the text, I'll unfold this so that you'll understand why it's so important, parents, to introduce your children to the Lord at an early age. Grandparents, to make sure that you lead the grandchildren into the path of the Lord at an early age. I said, it is the easiest time. One, it's because it is the time that they will have, listen, before they have major distractions. It's the time before they have major distractions. Now listen, there are so many things even right now that children have to distract them.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I name one big one. Computers. An unsupervised child on a computer that has no parental codes or blocks or locks can mess a child's mind up at a very early age, because children are capable of accessing the entire world by way of the computer. So before all of those things, major distractions happen, introduce them to Christ. But not only before major distractions, but while there are minor demands, before their lives become crowded with demands of being pulled here, being pulled there, having to do this, having that responsibility, etc. While they're still a child and can enjoy childhood, while there's still innocence, while there is still purity, those things are important. That's when you want to introduce that child to Jesus. And then thirdly, when it's the most desirable, when they are young. What does that mean? Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. That's the most desirable time that God says. It's the easiest time to capture the heart of a child before it has become hardened. Dr. Jerry Young tells the story of a minister preaching the gospel and witnessing through the word of God that Jesus Christ desires to come into every heart and live, and telling how if we believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that God raised him from the dead, and that we believe he came to save our souls and we invite him in, we'll be saved. And after service, the little boy wanted to come to the Lord, but he had some questions. And so after service, he went up to the preacher. He said, "Preacher, I want to give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, but I have some questions." And he said, "What are your questions, son?" The little boy said, "First, if we believe on Jesus Christ, that he's the Son of God and that he died for us and that he rose so that he could be our Savior and we accept him in our lives, we can be saved, right?" And the preacher said, "That's right." He said, "I'm a little boy, right?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Jesus is a grown man, right?" He said, "Yes." He said, "How is it that me being a little boy and Jesus being a grown man wants to come and live in my heart? Won't he stick out?" And the preacher thought about it for a minute and he said, "Yes, son, he will." He said, "But that's exactly what Jesus wants to do. He wants to stick out. He wants people to know that he lives on the inside of you. He's in your walk. He's in your talk. He's in your life. He wants to stick out so people will know Jesus is on the inside of you." And the little boy said, "Then I'll invite Jesus to come live in my heart." Now, you take a little child on the one hand and a 40-year-old man who's never met him on the other hand. Who do you think will find it easier to let Jesus in his heart? This child, before he's gotten his life corrupted with distractions and demands and gotten his heart mixed up with the things of the darkness of this world and delight in all of the things that he's tasted of the world and know that he'd have to give all of those up to accept Jesus, or this child who's never known those things? And so it's easiest to introduce a child at a young age. Now listen, it doesn't mean that troubles and trials and tribulations won't come to that child. It doesn't mean that that child won't run into all kinds of disasters and destruction. But what it does means, if those things do come, and they will, that he's already secured his soul. He's already had his name written on the Lamb's Book of Life. It is well, when this life is over, he has a place reserved in heaven with God. So when he says, "Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth," it's the easiest time. But the record says, "While the evil days come not, or the years draw nigh." And then I want you to see here that this is the wisest time. The wisest time, before the evil days come. While there's still self-respect, while you still realize that you are a good person, that you can make good decisions, that you're not struck by the things of the world to the point where you're pulled by them, but you have Christian guidance and nurturing, and you desire to do the things that please those who have invested much in you, who lead you to Christ. It's that self-respect you get from being right and doing right. Before the evil days come, also is important to understand, before you begin to seek ruin. How many know when you start growing into teenage years and you become rebellious? Old folk used to call it smelling yourself. You start thinking you your own man and you your own woman and all of this kind of stuff, still living up in mama daddy house. breathing their air, eating their food, laying in the bed they provided, watching the TV that they provide. Am I talking to anybody in the house here? But yet they think they